Studio WGBB 1240 AM on your dial. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. This is for everybody out there who doesn't know Jesus. That's what the show is about.
And today we have a room full of women.
We are recovering Catholics. And we're here. We've been talking about this all through the preparation time. We're surrounded by a group of women who are recovering Catholics, and they're not ashamed to talk about it. What we mean by recovering Catholics is they experience God's presence in their heart. And we're going to talk about that, the power of prayer, and how they experience and know God is alive in them. And we're talking over Al again. He's going to get Al's going to be here next week, and he's going to give us the business, I'm sure.
And also, I'm getting a strong urge to reflect to last week's gospel when Jesus says his disciples are the salt of the earth. And I look upon you, woman, as the salt of the earth. And I'm sure he looks upon you as the light of Jesus, and he's looking for you to spread the light to such a dark world.
And in preparing for this, Marita, who's one of our guests, Marita Doherty, had scripture saying, don't bury his light under the bushel. And everybody here in the room related to that, because we're all delighted Catholics.
When the task seems way beyond us, and our heart is filled with fear, turn it over to sweet Jesus. Watch your worries disappear.
Tony, what are we going to do today?
Well, we got four beautiful women here, and we're just going to open the veil to them and let them do the talking. I don't think we're going to have to work too hard today.
In fact, we're going to retire right now, and we're going to have each one of them introduce themselves to you, who they are and how they got here. Marita, you're first. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is my favorite place to be. It's only my second, but I just want to say that I represent a ministry called Prayers on Wheels. Everybody should be in it, and everybody can do it. And we'll talk about that later. And next door neighbor to me, a wonderful gal, Eileen. Here she is.
Thank you. I'm a coordinator of the Diocesan Intercessory Prayer Groups, and we have about 10 groups here on Long Island that we oversee. And our task is, or our choice is, to develop an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the heart of his mother, through scripture and a deep understanding of who we are and whose we are, to live out our life in peace and joy and in freedom in which God created us to be. And I'll move over to our convert.
Hi, my name's Leanne Murphy Baker, and I'm here to talk about my journey as I traveled through the RCI process. And when I say travel through, it was a very long journey, a whole year. But it was the best journey, best trip, whatever you want to call it, that I've ever had in my life. It really brought me into tune to who I am, what my destiny is, and it brought me closer to the Catholic Church and to God, and that's what I was seeking. And most of all, I got peace in my life. Wonder- I'd like to now introduce you to Angela.
Hi, I'm Angela Rizzo, and I am the coordinator and foundress of Magnificat, which is a ministry to Catholic women. We started this ministry here on Long Island about 16 years ago, and Magnificat is all over the world. There are 85 chapters, and it's a ministry that is dedicated to the meeting of Elizabeth and Our Blessed Mother at the Visitation. And what we do in this ministry is we try to bring women from all over Long Island together for dinners, for retreats, days of prayer, to get women to open their hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit in a charismatic way through charismatic prayer, and also to grow more intimate with Our Lady so that we can use her as our example of love and purity and how to really be a woman of God in today's world.
And our mission statement is that we want to bring Jesus into everyone's lives. Jesus wants to come into our lives, not only through the church, but in our personal lives, our business life, our family life. And that's what John and I are doing. We're just two little kids with so much love in our hearts for Jesus, and we want to spread that love throughout the community.
And when I said I'm a recovering Catholic, what I meant by that is what these women have just expressed. Years ago, God was way out and up there in heaven and looking down and telling me what to do, and I had to be perfect. What happened is I discovered, hey, He's alive in me, and He relates to me just like a person. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit touch us and relate to us, and it just changed my whole life. Everyone here, as we were getting ready for the show, talked about how they were converted. So we're just going to have a little round table where they'll share their stories and talk a little bit about the power of prayer and how somehow or other God came alive for them. So anyone want to start? Just start. Jump in.
I'd like to just share a little bit. This is Angela again. I was a Catholic, born and raised, raised in the Bronx, Italian, Catholic family. And when I was 23 years old, I started attending charismatic prayer groups. And I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, which was really a life-changing experience for me. I got to know Jesus in a personal way. It was no longer, as John said, that relationship of He's up there and I'm down here. Jesus was now living inside of me. And it really transformed my life. I was dealing with a lot of issues at the time. My mother had died when I was 12 years old. And I needed a lot of inner healing. And I got that. But after a while, I began to want more of the Holy Spirit. And I started looking elsewhere. And I started looking at Protestant non-denominational Bible churches. And I finally found one, and I started going there. And I went there with my husband and my children. And for 10 years, I stayed in this charismatic, spirit-filled church. It was wonderful. I met wonderful people. I got to know the scriptures in a way that I never, you know, knew them before. But after about 10 years, I started getting nudged. I like to say that Mary is my Jewish mother, and she nudges us like all mothers do. And she started whispering in my ear, come back to the church, come back to the faith. And I kind of ignored her for about a year. But eventually, I could not ignore her any longer. And I took that step. I made that decision. I came back to my Catholic faith. And within 1 week, she brought the ministry of Magnificat to my attention. And she said to me in my heart, she said, you need to start a chapter of Magnificat here on Long Island. And I thought, okay, well, cake and coffee, it'll be something simple, a bunch of women sharing their faith. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out to be so much more than that. And it's now, like I said, a beautiful chapter of women here. I like to call myself a revert. There's a show on EWTN called The Journey Home. And it's called, people call themselves reverts who come back to the church. My Catholic faith in the last 17 years that I've been back in the church has grown in leaps and bounds. I now understand the faith through a lot of the readings and writings of Scott Hahn. I've come to understand the teachings of the church through the Holy Father John Paul II, his writings. I feel so blessed and fortunate to have come back to this beautiful, beautiful gift of the Catholic faith.
Leanne?
Wow. Angela, that's very inspirational. I enjoyed listening to that very much. You know,
and it's true.
Yeah, that's what makes it even better.
And we're blessed. And we're blessed to have her back.
It's almost like it's not a bedtime story; it's the actual facts. Mm-hmm. You know, I can understand that, and I can relate in a sense. I'm not from Long Island originally. I'm actually from California, and I was living in the Midwest. And after 9/11, I thought I wanted to fly out here because I just felt I needed to. And I'll never forget when I landed at the airport. I was waiting for a car to pick me up, and I said, "This is where I belong." And, you know, that was in 2002. And as my journey's taken me, I lived in Connecticut for a little while. And, you know, and when I moved here, I quit my job, gave up everything, and landed here with $300 in my pocket, no job, no place to live. I lived in a motel for a month while I looked for work. But I knew I was on the right path. I just didn't understand why. Mm. And events happened in my life, and I thought to myself, I'm moving to Long Island. And I'll never forget, I drove down to the realtor's office, and while I'm waiting for the realtor to talk to me about an apartment, I look across the street and I see this church, St. Catherine's. Now, you know, I've passed a lot of churches, and I've been in some beautiful ones in Europe. None of them have ever meant anything or, like, touched me the way St. Catherine's did. And I said, this is where I'm going to live, right here. And I did. I called and spoke with the minister and said I wanted to join the Catholic Church. And we went through the process. He said I could, you know. I didn't realize I had to apply. But, you know, it was a year-long journey that has brought me into, you know, we all know we have a destiny and that we're supposed to do something, you know, and we're lost, but we don't know where we're going. And mm-hmm. I bring this up only because about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I had met this gentleman, and he told me one day, he said, you're going to be working in a field of law that's very unique. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And now I understand it. It's because of how I've been directed on this path. And I believe now that it is God that was directing me. At the time, I didn't know. And, you know, we're helping the veterans and doing what we need to do. You know, I represent the veterans before the Department of Veterans Affairs for their benefits. And I'm now part of a nonprofit. And I was looking for a way to help the veterans who were homeless. And you know what? It was through St. Catherine's, my Monsignor, that helped me with that. He actually saw me handing out these books. And he came up to me and he said, I didn't know you did this. And I said, yeah, you know, I want to open up a facility. He said, I know somebody. And it turns out he introduced me to this other woman, Mary. And now I'm part of her nonprofit. And we have been doing amazing things together, you know. And it's kind of, I just believe now I finally found my destiny. And it was just, I didn't understand it until today. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. And see how, you know, so many people say, I didn't realize that God was leading me. Mm-hmm. And that's always the case. And then you look back and you say, holy cow, that was God.
You made me suffer for no reason.
That's right.
But now I'm glad you suffered, you know, and people say that to me because I went through a lot of challenges. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine. When I was going through the RCI process, some of my friends weren't very supportive of it at all. But now one of my friends, he actually said, you know, so what's it like? And I tell him it's good.
Well, we'll get back to your RCIA experience, but Eileen, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a sibling of 10. To go back to my faith, my mother was a very faithful Catholic, always spoke of the Blessed Mother, always did the rosary, always used the saints and angels to help find our shoes or put food on the table or make sure that we were going out in good hands. Although I saw my mother experience, I never did. And growing up, you know, the world happened to get to me. And I fell from my church. I fell. And through the process of life, I was not satisfied. I felt empty. I didn't feel good about myself. And here I am, a mother with 4 children, trying to raise them and let them know that there is a God. But yet, it was words. Well, there was a time in my life that I was really going through a lot of hard times. And I found myself at my sister's doorstep, which was, she always went to church. She's never left church, but I found myself there. And she brought me to St. Bridget's in Westbury, where Father Frank Gator, at the time being pastor, was celebrating the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. And because I didn't know what to do for that day, I ended up going with her. And he would process through the street with the statue. And I remember in my heart saying to her, you know, I don't know why I'm here, but here I am, and do with me as you will. Well, what a turnaround. I ended up, through this process of growth in Jesus. I began saying the rosary. I began going to church every day before the tabernacle and praying to God for, you know, an opened heart, which led me to the Legion of Mary. From the Legion of Mary, I went to the Carmelites. From the Carmelites, I joined a prayer group that was all of the above: Mary, charismatic, contemplative, and scripture. And I remember speaking to the woman and that had started the community or the prayer group, saying, I don't know scripture. I can't journal on scripture. The main process of this was to journal on scripture, where we would hear the voice of God within ourselves, and it became a dialogue where we would go into the quiet and hear what God had to speak to us through scripture, whether it be, you know, a family situation. He just opened the heart. But I began to see what the Lord was doing. And in this process, I began to see who I was in Jesus. I was always standing behind people and letting them do the work for me. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. But I heard in my heart one day, as I was standing with my sister and a couple of other women, as I stood behind my sister, I heard the words in my heart, get out from behind. And I said, oh boy, you know, this isn't good, because you know, I'd rather be the fly on the wall, just looking over everything and taking part in helping everybody, not ever coming out in the forefront. Well, through this, I began to learn who I was in Christ. I became aware of the things that I was being asked, and through prayer in Scripture, I began to move into this awareness of what God was doing, which set me free. I no longer became the person behind the people, but God kind of put me out there in the forefront of the people, which really blew my mind and blew my husband's mind, you know, because you begin to change.
Let's give Marita a chance now, and you can tell us a little bit about your story.
I'm just in awe with these girls. I cry easily, but I am so touched. God bless you girls. You are tremendous. I hope everybody is listening to this program today, because everybody needs to hear you. Each one individually. I had a different start when I was a little kid, 4 years old. You'll hear this from me if I'm ever on there, if John ever has me on again.
What's it worth to you?
We were up. So I was trying to buy you. Okay. We were up in a mountain, and I've explained this once before when I was on, that my father was a doctor, and he was in TB, diseases of the chest, and the hospital was in hills, and there were no children or anything. And I went out with my dog up to an orchard, which was behind our house, and it must have been May, and the blooms were beautiful in these trees, pink apple blossoms. So I laid down, and I had a big black dog who went with me every place, and I looked up at the sky, and it was blue with pink flowers. And all of a sudden, God came over me. Now, I was only four, and I just stayed still. And I remember that. Mm-hmm. I stayed still. Mm-hmm. I went back home, and I said to Mom, Mom, this person, presence, something came. And she never forgot that. And when I was older, I questioned her, and I was about 10, and she said, God was there. That happened to me again when I was 12, and the reason was she died, and my father died a few months right after her. And I was on a fire escape in boarding school, and I was heartbroken and lonely, and he came again just to let me know that he wouldn't leave me. And in my last year of college, I was in the art studio, and he came again because he knew I was leaving that convent. I was leaving that security. I was leaving those nuns. I was leaving that love to go into the cold, cruel world. And so I got married and had six children, and I didn't drift away from Mass. I didn't do all those things, but I was drifting. I was like a rubber boat out on a sea. I was drifting, drifting. And I had a sister, and she was going to Fordham to a prayer meeting, and she said to me, you ought to get into this kind of thing. So I heard about a mixed denomination of girls out in Cold Spring Harbor on Long Island. And I called them and they said, come on out. And I went out and I walked in the door and they were so filled with the Holy Spirit. They looked at me and they said, come here. And they all, as a community, laid hands on me. I had been an empty paper bag. I had gone from that little girl covered with God to an empty paper bag. Not leaving church. Oh, I went, you know, went to the sacraments and everything else. But there wasn't anything there. From that moment on, I was struck. And I don't want to get into the rest of it, but it all went into healing. Okay?
I want to also be here by proxy for Sister Frances Clare. Now, Sister Frances Clare is a woman who is a healer out in Michigan. And she tells the story in her writings, because it goes along with what you women have been talking about. I'd use a woman's voice, but they might take me out of the studio. But in she was receiving her vows, and she felt, like Marita and like each of you have said, she felt the presence of God, and it was wonderful. And then she went into her life as a sister, and she lost it. She never felt it again. Mm-hmm. Went on for 25 years. And she was to the point where she was going to leave the sisterhood. And a friend of hers suggested she go to a charismatic prayer meeting. And she did. And she went there and she said, these people are doing crazy things. I don't want any part of them. But somebody gave her a book on the sword and the switchblade, which is David Wilkinson's story of his conversion. And she never read it. She never paid attention to it. But then she was so desperate, she read it. And then she got mad at God. She said, this guy David broke 15 commandments. And I'm living like a nun. And he's got more than I have. And I don't understand. Anyway, to make a long story short, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, received a tremendous healing ministry, which we'll talk about later. And from that point on, she was filled. They said to her, are you a Pentecostal or are you a Catholic? And she said, I'm a Catholicostal, which I thought is a great term, because she's a Catholic turned on by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we all are right here? That's what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about what our Protestant friends have discovered long before we did, I guess. We were into all the intellectual aspect of religion, maybe. I don't want to say it that way because I'm not a theologian. But until you're touched by God, it doesn't mean a thing. You're an empty bag, and that's the way it is, you know. Tony, yeah, I know you're going to talk about St. Francis of Assisi. For people who are listening, we bounce all around the place, and we have to let you know that the Holy Spirit leads this. Now, we're going to go into Saints Alive, which is the section of our show when Tony talks about a saint. And today he's going to talk about St. Francis of Assisi. And not St. Francis Assisi, as I used to say.
Yes, I'm going to speak about St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi was quite unusual. He gave up wealth, gave up status, he gave up luxury, gave up the pleasures of life so that he can serve God. He was born in the year 1182 in the town of Assisi, thus St. Francis of Assisi in Italy, and his father was a very wealthy merchant. Francis was a very good-looking boy, and so being a very good-looking boy, he was very popular with his friends, and he enjoyed the life of drinking and merriness. And one day Francis was joking and laughing with his friends, and a beggar came along crying for alms. Francis was soft-hearted, so he gave this beggar every cent he had in his pocket, just like that. And so he was ridiculed by his friends, and that the sight of the beggar set him thinking about the poverty and misery of life, and he gave whatever he could to the poor. His father thought Francis was wasting his money and addressed it with him. Sometime after, Francis was laid up in bed, and for many months, on account of some serious disease, he was about to die. But the Lord saved him, as he had to carry on a definite mission of life that our Heavenly Father had assigned him to. The nature of Francis was entirely changed. Francis prayed to the Lord for light and guidance as to what his future should be all about. He had a vision of the Lord Jesus. He made a strong determination to announce his old way of living, to tread a life of purity, and to dedicate his life to the service of humanity, and to give up whatever wealth he had and whatever inheritance that he would be getting from his parents. Soon as Francis got well, he informed his parents of his determination. Boy, were they disappointed. They became angry with Francis. Francis gave his old ways and habits and set up to serve God. He distributed clothes to the poor, gave money to the poor. His father was so annoyed towards his son. He said, "Is this the gratitude you show me? I labored hard and acquired wealth, and you lavishly wasting it on the miserable wretches?" Francis' friends mocked him and teased him. His father turned him out of the house. Francis lived like a beggar. His old friends even pelted him with stones and mud. He bore something with patience. He bore it all with patience. He wore a coarse dress and ate simple food. Francis lived in a cave in the mountains, happily, knowing he was serving God, and spent his time in prayer and meditation for 2 years. Some kind people gave him food, but very often he had to starve. Francis was humble. He loved God's creatures. He loved the birds. He loved the beast. He loved the bees. He loved the depressed and the outcast. He treated the birds, the beasts, and all beings as brothers and sisters. Francis went from village to village, preaching the love of God. He invited people to join him in his life of service, if they were willing. Bernard, a rich man of Assisi, was very much attracted by his saintliness of Francis. He joined Francis. He was the first follower of Francis. He placed all his wealth at the altar of God. 11 others also joined Francis. They distributed all the wealth to the poor. Francis and his followers went all over Italy, preaching, teaching, healing, and blessing wherever they went. The gospel of kindness and love of Francis soon spread all over Europe and earned him the name of Saint Francis. People called him the little poor man of Assisi. He lived forever in the hearts of all men. And thus, he lived that way until our Heavenly Father called him for his heavenly reward in 1228. And so Francis of Assisi is renowned, and they have the friars and Franciscans, and the friars have been established in his name. And so we pray to St. Francis. We have a prayer to St. Francis that, if I have some time, I'd like to say, and it's, O Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let there sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, harmony. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sorrow, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled, but to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and is in parting that we are pardoned, and is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And I think St. Francis of Assisi sets such a fine example.
Tony, thank you. Now, those of you who can't see what's going on here in the studio, my arm just fell off, because as Tony began speaking, the microphone fell out of its socket, and my arm just did. So I'm going to put this back in. We're going to move on with our show.
Dr. Palmer, that's why you're the executive producer.
Oh, okay. I was wondering how I got that message. Listen, we have... I'm going to hold it because it's not going the way I'd like. Now, you gals have been wonderful in the way that you have described how you were called back to God. Now, I have a question for you. How do you know you're in touch with God? How do you really, truly know that? How do you know it's really, truly God and not your imagination?
When he answers my prayers.
How does he answer your prayers? What does he do?
Well, for example, this past Christmas, I work a lot with homeless veterans. And I had a group of about 50 of them that were in a shelter, and very sad, all of them. And they have children that are in other facilities that they cannot be with them. And I was wanting to bring them toys for their children. And I happened to be visiting, you know, and I was praying for it, that something would come, that God would do something so I could bring some joy to these men's hearts. And I was actually at my friend Mary's house telling her, I wish there was a way I could afford to buy all this stuff. I was telling her, I don't know what to do, you know, and they need clothes and they need this and I don't know what to do. And while I'm sitting there talking to her about it, there's a knock on our door. Through contacts we made, this organization donated over 100 brand new toys to us.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. It was, Christmas was such a whirlwind for me. I didn't even go home to visit my own family. I was so busy with the veterans and everything that we were doing. We ended up, now when I see them, because I still see the gentlemen, they're always smiling now. And they bombard me. But, you know, it was good. I mean, and that's when I know. When every time something happens and I feel, you know, and I'm praying I need this so I can give it to them or help them in some way, it always comes through. So
The fruits of your prayer.
Always.
Eileen?
Well, I experience him a lot in my prayer time when I not so much come in petition, but come in asking the Father how I should pray for certain situations. He clearly opens up my eyes, whether it be through scripture or somebody saying something to me, but he allows me to know that he's working with me. With the circumstances that I face, whether it be a time of sorrow or there's a need in the family or there's an illness in the family. For instance, my sister was diagnosed with cancer and it was supposed to be terminal. She was not supposed to survive, but through prayer and the hand of Mary, you know, there's many things that God gives us, holy oils, the sacraments, everything. We began to see, as we prayed what God wanted, the healing of my sister, where she was diagnosed from the brain to the throat, to the stomach, to lung cancer. And, you know, as the process of the doctors going through everything, as they went back in for their second testing, the brain was okay, the throat was okay, the stomach was okay, and it settled totally in the lungs, but in one area. And again, asking the Father how to pray for this situation, which we start to pray for wisdom for the doctors to see what they need to do for this person. Well, we discovered, my sister just called me the other day to tell me that even the tumor in her lung is shrinking. Wow. So, you know, praise be to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And again, you know, show us how to pray. There's so many aspects of prayer that we need to focus on. Petition is great. Rosary is great. Contemplation is great. Scripture is great. But really, what does God the Father want us to do in all these circumstances? Even the littlest things. I've even, in traffic, you know, please, Lord, you know, how should I pray? Yeah. Open up the roads, you know. It's in everything, everything.
My prayer is a little different. Open up the roads. It's a little kind of prayer, but you get the fruits of your
prayer. I certainly do, and I see what happens, you know, in all the little things, not just the big things.
Angela, how do you know you're talking to God and God's talking to you? And this time, and I'm a psychologist. God's
so
talking
I would be
to
very
you,
careful what I say.
So watch what you say.
He's analyzing.
The men in the white coats are waiting for all of us when we leave here. For me, you know, like Marita, I had an awareness of God from when I was a very, very young child. And I do believe that when God knows that a parent, or in Marita's case, both of her parents, are going to be taken at a young age, there's special graces that are given to children. and awareness of God's presence to comfort them. And I had that same experience when I was about your age also. Interestingly enough, with apple blossom trees also. A very, you know, clearly remembering being in this garden where there were all these beautiful pink blossoms, and I stood there and I was speechless, and I felt God's presence there, and I had a joy that welled up in me, and that continued. And for me, my prayer life has always been a real conversation, and when I say real, I mean real. I'm very honest with God. When I'm angry with Him, I let Him know, okay, God, what are you doing? But the way I know it's God is because He says things to me in my spirit that I know do not come from me. They are words of encouragement, of wisdom, of insight. And this is where the journaling has become such a gift to me. I was also involved and am involved in an intercessory prayer ministry where we journal on scripture. Mm-hmm. And this dialogue with God and with the Holy Spirit has just opened me up over the past 5 years to an even deeper intimacy with God. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I have my own agenda. I have my petitions. God, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And after I get all that out on the paper, God then tells me what He would like to do and how He would like to work. And so He's been teaching me a lot lately about surrendering to the divine will. And really, when I was a child, the scariest prayer for me was to say, "Thy will be done," because I thought, well, you took my mother and maybe your will is going to be something bad. So I became afraid of God's will. And I'm not a child anymore. I'm over 50, and I'm finally at this point in my life understanding that even when I do not understand God's will and plan, it is always a good plan and the best plan. And my job is not to understand it. My job is to surrender and trust. Yes. And so it's a relationship for me.
Absolutely. Angela, and it's a good point you brought up, that we don't really know all the fruits.
The microphone.
Microphone. You guys speak up. I can't hear you,
sorry.
Tony.
You can't hear me. Oh. Sorry. I thought Dr. Palmer was holding it for me. We don't really know the fruits behind all our petitions and prayers, and we think that possibly it's not being answered, but in reality it is, because Jesus and the Heavenly Father has their agenda for you. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
While we were driving over today, Marita, you told me a story from your family background, from your father, about how God really, truly answered a prayer. Trevor, I know you're there. Could you put the next cut on while Marita's telling the story? That would be really special. Don't move the microphone to make some noise. Go ahead.
This is the dearest true story. And if the gift of tears start flowing with me, it's because I can remember this like it was yesterday. I think I was 10 years old, and my father had heard about a family living in a shack up in the Ramapo Mountains where the hospital was. And the county nurse had been told about them, and it went right to his heart. And at the dinner table, he'd talk about these things at night, and my ears would grow 15 feet. Because I would always try to get in on this, hide in the car and stuff like that. He made an appointment with the county nurse, a lovely lady, to go see this family. So we drove up. The hospital was on one hill. There was a valley, and it was a hill right across that we could see, another mountain. And we went up dirt road after dirt road. I was sort of in the back seat, so I didn't want to talk. I thought I might be turned around. We got up to the top of this mountain, and there was a shack. And when I say shack, I mean pieces of wood, cloth on the windows, and there were three little kids on the front porch. They had no shoes on, in raggedy clothes, the three little girls. There was a three-year-old, a five-year-old, and a seven-year-old. I don't think their hair had been washed. I don't know when. The dress was raggedy. They were skinny. Miss Lee got out of the car to go up the hill, and Dad went with her, and he was carrying his doctor bag, and he took out his stethoscope, and he said to her, "Stay there." don't come any closer, just looking at them. And I could see him go over their chests, and he sent her back to the car. He went inside and saw the mother and the father. When he got in the car, he said to her, "We've got to take them away from here." So he sent for an ambulance, and he put the whole family in this ambulance and took them up to where we lived at the hospital, and they were housed in a nurse's building. And I used to say, so at night, and this is also about soaking prayer, he told us how sick they were. And at night at the dinner table, every night, we would pray for those children and the mother and the father. Day after day, month after month, month after that month. And I used to say, "Daddy, Daddy, can I play with those kids?" Because we had no children up there. And he'd say, "No, they're too sick." At the end of 1 year, one night at dinner, he said, "I looked at the x-rays. The lungs are clear. They're healed." 1 year. Now, the end of that story is beautiful too. The WPA, who was working under the President Roosevelt, built them a home. They started going to school. They had clothes. They had food. And my father never thought anything of it because he wanted to be a priest. And so that story has stayed with me forever. Amen.
And it'll stay with us forever, too. What a powerful, powerful story. You can't hear it, everybody, in the studio, but what's playing in the background is, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if that is anything that the show is all about, it's what a friend we have in Jesus. I mentioned Sister Mary, Frances Claire, at the very beginning, and when we were talking earlier in the show, and she had a wonderful healing ministry, a prison ministry out in Michigan. She would go to the prison every Saturday and pray with the prisoners, and she had tremendous healings. And my wife, in her book, she used to put captions over the healings that took place. Her book is God Did It, right? Won't be out until the spring. Anyway, above one of Sister's healings words, "Is it really okay to heal VD?" And there was a man in prison who had a terrible, incurable case of venereal disease. And he hated God. He was angry at God because of what had happened to him, even though he would take responsibility. And the sisters showed up at the prison, and they would walk, drive past the guards, and the guards say, "Are you bringing any combustible things?" And they said, "No, we're just going to pray." And when they got to know the guards later, "Yeah, we're bringing the love of Jesus. It's going to explode all over them." But they prayed over this man, David, who had VD, and it was cured. But before it was cured, they asked him, "Would you accept Jesus as your Savior and Messiah?" And through tears, men in prison, tough men in prison, crying, he said yes. And he felt a trembling heat throughout his body. And he was healed of the venereal disease. God can do that, and he does it. And, you know, we talk a lot about healing on the show because we want people to understand how personal and intimate God is with each of us. If you recall, last week we prayed for David, a five-year-old who had cancer in his return to his body, into his rib. And he went through surgery on Monday. How did it go, Tony?
The surgery went well. They removed the rib. But they need to wait until Monday or Tuesday to get the results, and we're praying very hard.
And when we pray later on for the petitions here, we better pray that there's no more cancer left in David. No more cancer left in David. And we've been praying for another woman whose name I'm blocking on right now, who has Chiari disease, Sue, has Chiari disease, and that's a disease of the brain stem. And the brain is really sinking into her body. And we've been praying that she get healing. And in our prayer, my prayer life, I get it, that she's getting some sort of healing, but she's going to have to undergo surgery. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to wait for that to happen. But, you know, the only reason why we're into this is because it's the fruits of prayer that really are showing what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we don't, you know, I don't know about you, Tony, but I'm from Missouri. You know, I want to see it. Yeah, you know, all this talk is wonderful, but unless I see it or hear about it directly from someone I know, I don't want to listen to all this personal stuff about God.
John, I'm from Brooklyn, so you know what I'm all about.
That's worse.
Also, just to add to that, this morning, 8:30, just as I was leaving for the studio, I got a phone call from a Philippine woman that there are three petitions that she wanted me to take from California that somehow or other they're getting the show in California.
Good.
And internet.
Probably from the internet, but and I told her, I took them the petitions. One person has brain cancer. One person can't talk, and another person can't walk, and they want so much for us to pray for them. And so I told her that we would, and our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers would go out to those people in California.
We're really into healing prayer so that we can get to some of the petitions that are here. We prayed over these petitions before we began today. And Marita, you had a word.
Well, I felt that there was someone in this, there's to tell our listeners, there's a little plastic bag with all these little pieces of paper and all these names. And I felt hiding in there someplace was a man. Not on the paper, but he's in there.
I see him. I can see him. There he is.
A very little man. And he's saying, let me out of this bag.
I can't breathe in here.
Isn't it great to have all women in there on the table?
No, I'm not seeing little people, which it sounds like little people. But that man, I feel he's going to be healed for this moment. And John, could we take a moment now to pray?
That's what we're doing.
As we feel like for this man, whoever, you know who it is, Lord, and you know where he's sick, and you know his body, his mind, and his spirit.
Before you go a little bit further, we're asking the listeners, open up your hands, lift them up to God, and pray with us. Whoever is out there, pray for this man. Go ahead, Marita.
Yes, Lord. Lord, you know him, and we don't, but we know he's hidden in your heart. And that you live in him, Lord, wherever his pain is, in his body, his mind, his spirit, may the power of your Holy Spirit, God, come upon him now this moment, wherever he is, in a bed, in a hospital, wherever he is, Lord, and he's afraid. Oh, God, take away his fear. Let him know that you are in charge of that body. Let him know that all over the country, wherever this is heard, we are praying for him. And let's call him Joseph. And Lord Joseph, with that adopted name, hear this prayer. These are your brothers and your sisters. We love God, and so we love you. Come, Lord Jesus, upon him.
Amen.
Heal him, Lord. Shirorina manido. Ishirorina manika shinani. Ilorhinamanidoshigarida karinama.
And Lord, we're praying for all those who doubt. All those who are from Missouri or Brooklyn, all of those who somehow or other say, this is really just not true. How could God ever really personally touch me? And we are asking you, Lord, even to that one person now who's reaching to change the dial, stop his hand in its track, Lord, and let him listen to your presence over these airways coming into him. Joseph, Harry, whoever it is, we're praying for you right now. And anyone here, any petitions you have, bring them up. Just bring them up right now. Go ahead.
Well, I would like to express I'm getting such a strong understanding within my own heart that this man is suffering from a broken heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that God wants to heal that broken heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let it be filled with him.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you, what's happening right now, Lord? We thank you for your miracle. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
We're praying for the veterans. The veterans who fought for our country and who are in need. And we know that their needs are forgotten because we just move on with our lives. And we thank you, Leanne, for bringing the veterans to our attention today.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray for them, Lord. We ask you, touch them, Lord. touch them so that they know we are grateful to them.
Yes, Lord.
And that your love is in them now, Lord.
Thank
you. Praise
you. Let them lose heart, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
I'd like to pray for the youth that is blinded to the mystical church. We are mystical church. We are a church alive because they're looking at so many different things, into vampires, into a lot of new age practices, card reading, all these things that are out there that draw them away from the church. And we have so much yoga, Wicca, there's Zen. There's so much out there that is not of God, and they are fooled by it. You know, I hear so much the sexual things that they're doing. It's so sad. But we are a mystical church. I pray that the churches bring to the youth the gift of pray-overs so that they hear the word
Amen.
Of God, that they experience the love of God within them. Allow God's voice to be heard through them. They need this. Our youth need God. The church needs to be alive within them. And we, as the grown-ups, adults, need to bring our experience of life that we have experienced in and through God. Our healing, our joy, our frustration, our journaling. Come and hear the word of God. Our catechism is filled with truth and life.
I think God needs to talk to St. Monica and have her get to work to help you out with that.
Oh, definitely. St. Monica, St. Michael.
That's right.
And we looked at the Super Bowl on Sunday at that halftime show. Wasn't that the most asinine, empty thing you've ever seen in your life?
It was not
with
on
lights,
my TV.
With
I
lights,
it.
With lights. And our young people watching that.
Right.
Watching
right.
that and saying, this is God, and this is wonderful. This is God for us. Mm-hmm. And we're telling the young people who are listening now, there's so much more than those lights on the field at halftime on Super Bowl.
Amen.
And we want
Amen.
You to come. How about you?
Yeah, it's just on my heart to really pray for families and so many broken marriages, broken families, which produce broken children. And Lord, we just place before you the family that has been under attack in the same way that the church and the priesthood has been under attack. We know that the evil one wants to just break down our society. But today we stand, we come together united in one heart and one mind, and we plead the blood of Jesus over our homes, over our spouses, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, we ask for healing. We ask for reconciliation. We ask for mercy and forgiveness. Those that are holding grudges in families, we break that power, Lord, and we ask you to come in with the Holy Spirit and make there be love and forgiveness and mercy and soften the hardened hearts.
Amen.
Really getting
Amen.
A sense of hardness
yes.
of heart.
Amen.
Jesus, you can pour the oil of the Spirit into any heart and soften that heart. Take away those hearts of stone and give people those hearts of flesh.
In the name of Jesus the Messiah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
we
you,
we take full authority of those who are listening, and we ask you, Jesus, bind and cast out those spirits in each of those people who are open to evil. Bind those spirits, cast them out, send them directly to the foot of your cross immediately, Lord.
Thank you.
Immediately.
Thank
Be
you.
It done now according to your will,
Thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
And
you.
We ask you to go
Thank
further.
Thank
Refill
you,
their hearts
yes,
with
Lord.
Your love and with your
Thank
grace
you,
and with the
Thank
power
you,
to come to see that you are the Super Bowl.
Thank
and
you,
that
Jesus.
You are the
Praise
wonder
Jesus.
Of their life.
Glory to you. Hallelujah, Glory. Jesus.
And teach everyone the power of prayer. Amen.
And teach everyone, Lord, how to pray. And St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in this battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
That's a little prayer meeting.
A little prayer meeting. In case you have never experienced that, that's what a prayer meeting is all about. We bind our spirits together and bring the Holy Spirit fully alive,
Amen.
So that we can touch each person in the room And when I come with needs, Marita's got an answer for me, and so forth, right back and forth. Yes. We all are in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to close with a song, and it's very appropriate. It's the prayer. Celine Dion.
Good.
Oh, lovely.
Email us your petitions.
Listen up, 1240 at AOL.com. Listen up, 1240 at AOL.com. Keep those cards and letters coming. We'll respond to each and every one of them.
I pray you'll be all right.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you for blessing us. Blessing us.
Thank you.
We may sound like holy rollers, but who cares?
Thank you.
I like holy rollers.
Aren't we? Aren't we holy rollers?
I think we are.
We're in love. We're in love with Jesus. We got the flame in our hearts.
Hallelujah. And let that prayer come alive.
I was going to say, sometimes it's just saying a couple of words about God and Lord Jesus.
When we lose all. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe.
La luce che tu dai,
I pray we'll find your light,
nel cuore resterà. Ricordarci che
when stars go out each night,
l'eterna stella
sei
nella mia preghiera.
Let this be our
faith. Quanta fede c'è.
When shall we love
thee? Lead us to a place.
Give us faith so we'll be safe.